This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the podcast that rocks, a weekly podcast that talks about news in the world of rock, metal, alternative, and everything in between. My name is Luke.
My name is Alex.
And my name is Rowan.
And I believe my name is Kevin.
That is correct. We have a fourth for the day. Please welcome everyone, as I pull up the right screen, Mr. Kevin Kellum, off of many other radio stations and a stand-up comedian and many other things that I met at Ride Fest last year, handling the media. I don't know who pushed the button, but well done. Yeah. Kevin,
thank you. I appreciate it.
Kevin, yeah. Give a quick introduction to everyone in chat and everyone that'll hear this as well as who you are and what you have coming.
I'm a big heavy metal dork who, like you, who buys the cheap t-shirts at the Target that say Guns N' Roses on them. I have opinions about music. I work in the music adjacent world. That's where I met Mr. Luke right over there at Riot Fest last year. And then when I saw him, I was like, I've seen that man on the internet. I have to have that IRL conversation.
Boy, is that a statement. And, woof.
Yeah, and I had it before I had Malort, which is a rare thing at a Riot Fest, okay, to speak to someone.
God, you had Malort.
It's Riot Fest.
Yes, Malort. Yeah, it's Riot Fest. Malort, the drink you drink when you know you're going to fight your dad. All right, so you drink Malort. And hey, that's their thing. I've worked in rock radio for my entire adult life and have been around bands and different stuff like that, and comedy and pro wrestling. I do stuff for Sports Keto Wrestling, which is popular here on YouTube. You can hear my voice on those videos, hosting those things. So busy time for them with SummerSlam. And then I can be heard in Chicago on Q101, one of the really badass alternative rock radio stations in the country. If you're in LA, this is like the K-Rock. If you're in New York, you remember the big rock radio stations there at K-Rock. Same idea. And Q101, you can hear me on 93X right now. I actually pre-recorded tonight to be able to do this with you guys. I'm on 93X Monday through Friday, and then I'm in Rockford, Illinois on the X. A lot of the radio stations like X stuff. But as if I don't get enough attention and talking to microphones, I don't play music, but my mouth is my music. That sounds sexual. But I'm doing my first stand-up comedy album this Saturday for the Windy City Comedy Festival in Chicago at Lincoln Hall, a venue that has hosted one half of Hall & Oates and the Dave Matthews Band. And somehow I'm playing there. And so I will be there this Saturday at 9 p.m. to record my first album called Very Metal. Heaven and Hell is the name of the album instead of, yes, thank you for getting it. Heaven and Hell? No. Heaven and Hell. I had this idea when I was 15. I now have to fulfill it and get it out of my head. But that's Saturday, this Saturday, if you've never seen me before and you want to see some comedy that has like a rock music vibe to it, and it's very loud and caustic and talks about breakups and things that happen on the radio that are not supposed to happen on the radio. Yeah, this is the show. Saturday, 9 p.m. Get your tickets. Up on my Instagram, at KevKellum6, and then my website is KevinKellum.com.
Everyone, you have homework, and this is one worth looking up too. Also, if you are in the Midwest, especially around the Chicagoland, or greater area, you can come down from Milwaukee. You can come over from other places. Yeah. It's a show worth it. Alex said she's going to fly up there. Rowan's going to take a train. So come on now. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Not going to take a train. I'm going to take a plane.
It's a late show, by the way, too. So it starts at like 9:30. We have some really great comedians. Ariel Julie, who's hosted a bunch of different stuff. Brandon Kiefer, who's been big on Kill Tony, is going to be featuring for me on it. So it's going to be pretty cool. And tickets are like really, really affordable. So I'm hoping it goes well. And you're also going to see me cut this thing live. I have one take at it. So, usually when they take these comedy specials, there's like one or two shows. And you've seen live albums, Luke, where they tape more than one live album. Cut it together as one live album. Mm-hmm. I have one singular performance to nail this. So that is, to me, very, very stressful.
No pressure.
No pressure at all.
It'll be fine. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for all your patience in the chat. We started a little bit later because OBS and Discord are a nightmare. However, I wanted to make sure everyone was aware of all the things Kevin has done. By the way, Kevin, someone in chat just said Sports Kita. I thought he looked familiar. So there you go. Proof that there's a comparison.
Appreciate it.
So,
yeah, I've been with them for a handful of years. It's been a very, very crazy day. WWE just announced a multi-billion dollar deal to be specific with Disney ESPN. So they're going to move their like premium live events like WrestleMania, Royal Rumble are heading over there. And we just dropped a short about that. We're going to have a longer video breaking the whole thing down probably in a week or two.
Very cool for all the pro wrestling fans out there. That being said, are we ready to talk about the nonsense and insanity that was Lollapalooza 2025, in which Kevin was there for it? Because apparently
I saw the good stuff. Mm. Saw the good stuff. I can also pop balloon bubbles on the bullshit, so I'm fine for that too.
Good, a poet with that description, by the way. Well done. So. A good friend of mine, I know Alex knows her as well. Roe will get to know her eventually. I'm sure Kevin's met her and knows her well because also a Chicagoan. Selena Fergazi, who has done a lot of writing and festival work before, made this great write-up for the Chicago Sun-Times. Korn was one of the few like heavy music representatives, the only like big name in heavy music. And apparently, it wasn't as loved as people would have hoped, especially for Lollapalooza, because it was Sabrina Carpenter and it was many other names and then Korn. Is that a fair statement to say for everything else that you saw? I want to know first, Kevin, while you were there, and Allison Rowan, chime in with any questions you have for this. Like, you did not see Korn specifically, but are you aware of the Korn shenanigans that happened, or just like the reception Korn had?
Well, I want to say hello to my fellow Chicago media person, and I don't want to like deride what it was and say, oh, well, they didn't have a big crowd. What's not a big crowd at Lollapalooza? Do you know what not a big crowd at Lollapalooza is?
5,000 at minimum. Probably more.
No, this was like, okay, Olivia Rodrigo probably had like 60, 70,000 people watching her set. Maybe more, all right? Korn and probably had how many people? Out of 115,000 tickets sold.
Good guess. Alex Rowan, what's the guess? We play the guessing game a lot.
Oh.
I mean, like, are you telling me like 10 or 15,000 people is a bad crowd? Like 10 or 15,000 people? And then you have like an EDM stage that no one ever leaves the whole day because they've been taking like, you know, different Molly. Stimulants the whole time?
I like the idea of Chicago Molly, by the way. Like it's deep dish Molly. So
it's wrapped in cheese.
Oh, highly recommend.
Ooh, drafted cheese.
The sauce is on top, huh? What?
And the toppings, for some reason, are on the bottoms, which kind of makes the name of it kind of irrelevant.
Why is there so much grease sitting on top of the Molly?
Oh, whatever. Attack my pizza. Like, you don't want to eat it when you come here. Calm down. Okay.
No, I don't want to eat it. I'll look for a New York-style pizza like God intended.
Y'all, I just ate a frozen pizza for dinner last night. I have no room to chime in on any of this.
That's Detroit pizza. If it was frozen.
New York style. Good for you. That's what we give the rats here. You know what I mean? So, I mean,
well, tell you this, if you try to serve a New York or deep dish pizza, they'll probably punch you in the face.
I know. Pizza's pizza, man. I don't care.
That's true.
But no, in all seriousness, I didn't see Korn set, to be clear. But I know many, many people that I know from Q101, where I'm at, that did. And we saw this article, and she's a great writer, by the way.
Yes.
It's just, well, you're comparing it. They did old favorites or this. I just think there's this thing at a festival every year, and maybe you know this too, Luke, where people just have this perception they get about a certain act. It's a big name act. And they say, especially this year at Lollapalooza, where they really just put the foot down on pop music.
Yes.
Said, we're going to put K-pop. We're going to lean into Olivia Rodrigo. Olivia Rodrigo is going to play to the parents and have Weezer come out and do something, right? As a surprise, right? And then the next night, Sabrina Carpenter. And this is Lollapalooza just saying, we're a music festival for a lot of different people. And we're much less of an alternative rock festival, but we'll have Korn and we'll have a bunch of really cool bands. And we'll have Cage the Elephant on there, who's played before. Cage the Elephant was awesome. They're the best band I actually saw. I love their set. They reminded people how good they are, how many hits they have. I think they play at least 12, 15, 16 songs. And then I read this article. I read this earlier, the one you're talking about, mm-hmm. and it brings up their set list there. And it was kind of like, oh, they just like, you know, stuck to what they're doing. I think at a festival, when you have Olivia Rodrigo bringing Weezer out, and, you know, Sabrina Carpenter brings out Earth, Wind, and Fire, it's this comparison them. When Korn is the alternative to everything that is going on at that festival for a very hyper young, hyper feminized audience that is well under the age of 30. Guess what? You got to sell beer at these things. And people with black t-shirts come and still smoke weed and still buy $13 Bud Lights and have a good time. And they're going to go see Korn. You have to have an alternative to the main thing. This isn't to deride Miss Rodrigo or Carpenter. Well, I understand put on great shows, right? And so I can respect that. But I just disagree with this because I watched the live stream. Mm-hmm. That's how I got to watch it later on Hulu because I went to Ghost that night. I went to Ghost that was in town. And my girlfriend wanted to see Ghost. So that's what we chose to do. And we went with no phone. So I had to watch the stream later on. And like, they sounded great. Mind you, a live stream, you just get a completely different impression of it, you know? And this wasn't like, oh, they put on a good set. No, they just played too much old stuff. I was like, they're Korn. What do you want them to do? They don't have a new album. They haven't put on a new album in 3 years. I was like, what is this? Do we just have to say someone who's a major headliner in every festival is bad just to say someone's bad? We can't just say they're all good, right? Am I not making a point here?
No, I understand. Honestly, a lot of the points you're making. Go ahead, Alex. Go ahead. I want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, no. I feel everything you're saying here, and I love your point of view on this. I personally cannot think of any other type of festival or any other festival, obviously, because Lala did it. Where else can you go see Sabrina Carpenter and Olivia Rodrigo and Korn at the same time? And if you got, you know, a couple of little weirdos like me who like all three of these bands, you're never going to be able to see them. You know what I mean? Like, that's super rad. Yeah.
T-Pain was on this festival. You know what I mean? Like,
bury the lead. T-Pain? Well, what the heck? I would have gone for that too then.
Yeah. And I mean, Foster the People. So you had some alt indie pop stuff. But I mean, like, it was really heavy on pop up front, which is I don't want to say a bummer, but I was rooting for, like, you know, I would love to see like a Muse or like, you know, I was hoping that they brought up Foo Fighters. This would be a great way for them to come back and have a big stamp again.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past them for doing it next year. But you know, it's just, and there were some big after shows. The after shows are pretty huge. You know, those just got announced for Riot Fest, by the way. I know you guys are doing something very cool with Riot Fest, which is, mind you, how spoiled are we in Chicago? We get Lollapalooza.
We get all the good stuff in Chicago. Yeah, while the rest of us are trying to figure it out. Yeah, we get it.
These two,
Alex and Rowan, are very aware that I've been selling them on Riot Fest for quite a while. If I can convince the media team, if I can convince the team to approve more people, I will. But man, that is a battle if I can do that. Rowan, get your thoughts. It is worth it. Rowan, your thoughts on Korn set list and stuff too. Like, and Alex, I want your set list thoughts on
this. This is a classic set list. I gotta say, like, you know, people like saying like they're not like, they don't like the old stuff. When I think of Korn, when my friends and I talk about Korn, we're always talking about like songs from like the 90s and early 2000s. My God, this is an awesome set list. They got like stuff that's from Issues and Freak and Follow the Leader. That's not like their most well-known stuff, but for fans is like really appreciative. Like Somebody, Someone. I was listening to that earlier. Dude, I love that whole record, honestly. And just like look at the set list. This, like, how can you as a Korn fan look at this and not be satisfied with this?
My point this is with a solid this, and like, I do agree with a lot of the points being made as a tactic. If you know your head, like not headlining true headline, but like a big name like this, and this is your chance to help revitalize and get your name out there for Korn to a younger generation. You're not going to play the newest deep cuts off the 2022 album. You're going to play the stuff everybody knows. And that way people can get into more, especially with some of these, like closing with Freak on a Leash. You're not going to close with something that's like a big thing from the Serenity of Suffering in 2016. Fine album, but you want to play the bigger stuff that people know for a big stage like that. So, you know,
this feels exactly like a lot of like 90s Korn and even like some 2000 stuff. It feels like they also have become memes online, especially Freak on a Leash and Falling Away from Me. Like, even if someone is not that well versed in metal or Korn, that's like a song that just by proxy you would probably know.
Mm-hmm.
It has that Tony Hawk effect. Yeah. Like you've heard it in a video game, you've seen it in a movie, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Going back to like what I was saying, where can you have like all of these pop artists? Sorry. And, you know, all of these people in one place. That's not the place to, you know, debut these newer songs or these more recent album songs, because it's not like a rock heavy or a metal heavy headlining type event where if you're at that event, you have fans that are already established. So you're going to bring out some of those deeper cuts or more recent album cuts. If you're at a place like this where there's a lot of not core fans or even within the same genre fans, you're going to want to hit them with the hits, like hardcore, lay it on heavy.
Yeah.
It's smarter. It's smarter. And there was something in the article. Like I said, great writer. She did a piece with Q101 this week or last week to preview Lala with her very own Lauren O'Neill. Mm. And the comparison was to Deftones last year, because Deftones was one of the bigger rock bands that played Lollapalooza last year in Chicago. They had a huge crowd, but they played in the day and there was no major, like there was some other, there's always opposition. You've seen this on festivals. Like, I wish this band wasn't on stage at this time, you know? And I think they were slotted where they were going to be the big band on stage at that time. And you put this up against Olivia Rodrigo, it's just split the crowd. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a split crowd. When I went and saw Paul McCartney 10 years ago at Lollapalooza, I know they had some DJ on another stage on the other side of the park. You know, it was designed to split the crowd, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. And the idea that you want Korn to fight with in 10 years, Olivia Rodrigo might be doing the exact opposite play here. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's just, I don't know. To me, it's like, hey, you know, why aren't you as hip as everyone wants Deftones to be? Because they are again. And a lot of people are very young, just discovering that band. Korn has Korn's audience. You know, this is a band that doesn't have to put out new music if they don't want to. You know,
it's definitely a
tour.
Oh, sorry.
But and they can tour behind that for a significant period of time.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's definitely a generational thing. And I just kind of like say this as like a member of Gen Z. I feel like especially, you know, you bring up Deftones, like there are bands that have been around from the 90s who kind of have gotten a sort of second life through social media because people use their songs for sound bites and all that stuff. And Deftones, I feel like, is one of the bands that's at the forefront from that. And that's kind of like my point, too, about Korn, that like even younger people would probably recognize this band because especially the Freak on the Leash, the whole like I cannot do that again, please.
The microphone would love to have that for a voice.
No,
could you please?
No. I'm doing it once and you will never hear it again. I will never try that again, especially not in a public setting.
I'm trying.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. No, people meme that to death. Like online. You would, just by spending some amount of time on social media, you would hear that song.
Yes.
Yeah.
So final question and, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So final thing before we move on, because I know we talked about this too, and I brought this up before for other stuff, a little bit wonky on the display, but that's the current lineup that we had just this past weekend for Lollapalooza. You could probably go through and count the rock and metal and heavy music bands on one hand. That's just how Lollapalooza is going. My question for all of you and Kevin as well, because like it's Chicago, and do you see heavy music ever making a comeback at Lollapalooza with the direction they've been going the last few years?
100%.
Okay.
100%. Silly Goose played this year. I don't know if you guys know who Silly Goose is.
We'll talk about them later. Yes.
I just got into Silly Goose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we interviewed them, by the way. I don't know if that interview is up on the Q101 YouTube page. If you guys search Q101, plug. And so they're a band that just went viral last year playing a gas station. They drove up in a car and played on top of a gas station and like just got people to come and see them. And they're a part of you bring up the Gen Z kids discovering something from a generation before them. And new metal is like, you saw the trendy. There was that big article, what, like 2-3 weeks ago about how there's this huge discovery phase of people coming back. You saw this with emo about 3 or 4 years ago. People are now doing this with new metal now, and these are significantly younger people in their 20s and 30s who knew of those bands or liked them. Now they're digging in deep, and here's the reason why. This is where I'll call it your generation, young man. Where are these bands that are new? Where, what, how many bands that have members under the age of 25 are prominent in the game right now. And that isn't a shot. It's just, I think there's an audience now that wants to know someone is validated and can go and they can relate to them in a different way, and they can attach a song to a meme, or attach it to a movie where they got introduced to a band. A lot of people are getting introduced to like bands through video games and different stuff like that. So it's not the same route. So now when you go and do those moods, you're going to go into something that's established to play to that mood. And that tends to be these bands that have a legacy that's already in place. No shot at a younger band. There's a lot of great new bands like a Bad Flower and stuff like that too. But no, I see these bands on again. Metallica's played Lollapalooza before. They absolutely could play it again. Sleep Token. I think Sleep Token is a band that is, I don't want to say a sure thing, but like if you told me they were on Lollapalooza last year, would people be surprised? I don't think so. No, because they have a real crossover sound. Ghost has played it before. They've become even more of like ABBA turns metal. And I think there's an audience for that. And people dressed up. I went and saw Ghost on Friday. People dressed up for that. I think Lollapalooza would love to have that element of dressing up for Lollapalooza one day and wearing a different costume. And the aesthetics are so important for Lolla. That's all a part of it. But are you telling me that, Cannibal Corpse is going to be on the lineup? I don't know about that.
That might be hard. That would be amazing, though. Imagine Sabrina Carpenter, Cannibal Corpse.
Here's what's settled in. Lollapalooza.
It would never happen, but that'd be hilarious.
Yes, but Lollapalooza is a music festival with rock bands on it. Okay? Riot Fest is a rock music festival with non-rock acts featured and fun and unique and fun, like absolutely receptive ways. You can go to Riot Fest and it's much more flipped the other way. Riot Fest at some point is, you will flip this script. Riot Fest at some point, which is built on punk rock bands, this year it's going to be headlined by Weezer, Green Day, and Blink 182. Come on. 30 something people buying cars, buying houses are going to go out to Chicago for the weekend and see their favorite bands they've seen before and see them again and have a great time. And Weird Al Yankovic is going to be there. A lot of those people haven't seen Weird Al. I've been telling people at Riot Fest to book Weird Al for years, and he will play to one of the biggest crowds he has ever played to. He sold out Ravinia, 27,000 tickets. He's going to play to significantly a larger audience now, just 2 months, 3 months later. And you look at this lineup, it's much more rock music. So how many of those bands, if you're a band, and you're a Blink 182, you played Lollapalooza last year. Do you want to play it again? Or do you want to do Riot Fest with your boys over in Weezer and a band Green Day that you did one of your biggest national tours with? And Weird Al's there? And the Beach Boys? And Knocked Loose? No shot at Lollapalooza. Lollapalooza, go serve a bunch of different masters. Riot Fest knows their crowd. If you told me Snoop Dogg was on this as like an outside act, there's some hip hop on there. Gym Class Heroes is going to be on this lineup too. Rico Nasty and different stuff like that. They're going to have a hip hop headliner at one point. I believe they've had some big ones. They've had Wu-Tang Clan there before. So, to me, it's just like, just know your crowd. It's a younger crowd at Lollapalooza. So much significantly younger. And, Riot Fest is for people with sleeve tattoos.
That's, yeah. That also makes sense too. I'm going to pull up the Lollapalooza lineup before we go. I just want to ask Alex Rowan, same question for you. Do you see Lollapalooza ever going back to a certain situation like this where they actually invite more heavy music to it? Because the last 2 years,
I don't know.
Go ahead, Rowan.
Because minus Korn, I'm looking at the lineup here. The only other acts that really stand out and I can recognize our Silly Goose, who we talked about, but also Bill Murray. And Bill Murray is like cool. The guy used to be in Attack, and they're heavy, but I don't know if I would say they're metal or whatsoever. Would you guys?
No, they're like a Faith No More, where there's that intersectionality in what they're doing.
Working in elements. They have like the girl who has like the saxophone. I forget her name, but she did sax on Emergence.
I caught some of the set while eating, while getting sunscreen in my eyes, which was not fun. But I will say, sucked. It absolutely sucked getting sunscreen in your eyes. But I will say they put on a really good show, and they played one of the side stages, and they had a very healthy, healthy crowd there too. So, you know, in this moment, played Lollapalooza last year, you know, and put on their heavy show and did their live production and stuff like that, and played a side stage. Another thing is with these festivals, I don't think everyone has to like care about the headliners. God bless you. Headliners are the draw. There's a lot of other bands on these festivals that you want to go and see, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, you're probably most likely you're not going to be into every band at a festival set list. But if you see like a lot of value in like what is there, I mean, exactly. I feel like it just kind of justifies just going there and just experiencing the whole thing in general.
Alex, I don't want to be just man young.
No. You guys are good. I was waiting. You finish up your thoughts, gentlemen.
Sorry.
Sounds good. I think based on the direction we've seen kind of rock and metal creeping up in the mainstream these past couple of months, especially 2025, we've had a lot of rock and metal creeping up into that mainstream. I think if we continue on this path and we keep seeing more of it, you know, coming up on the late night shows, coming up in, you know, the festivals like this, I think we're going to see more and more start creeping in as we continue on this path.
I like the optimism.
I'll say this.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this. I wouldn't be surprised if you see a Linkin Park on here next year.
That Linkin Park, in my opinion, has like more general appeal or major appeal than Korn. Comparatively.
But it's that intersectionality where it's a band that's heavy, that has their metal audience, right? But can play to a broader crowd, you know?
Yeah,
Metallica exactly. Metallica is an exception. Just been there forever, you know? And so, yeah, makes complete sense. Mm-hmm. Fighters, you know, there's a short list of bands there that could be there.
As we move on, there was a lot of good discussion. If you were at Lollapalooza or if you're going to Riot Fest, let us know in the comments, especially if you were at Lollapalooza, let us know what you thought. If you were in Chicago, if you saw Kevin and you tried to say hi, but he was just working too hard and furiously running around like a tornado, let us know in the comments.
Yeah.
We are going to move on to more
sunscreen in my eyes.
Yes. And that's why he was flailing his arms. He didn't want to get hit by him. Yeah. So, yes. So
yeah, I saw this one clip of like this guy going crazy in the mosh pit. It just looked like he was out for blood, but he looked a lot like you.
As we got the next couple stories, we're going to try to breeze through a little bit, but they are worth pointing out because some of them are insane. Is there a delay? I just heard like the super delay laugh.
I heard him laugh and it was like, but I think he laughed when we talked about him being in the mosh pit, but then he stopped laughing.
It's a Discord issue.
So delayed.
It was so delayed. Like, dude, it was like
you were laughing. We heard your laugh, but you are stone faced, not talking.
your inner dialogue on it. So we're going to go to this next story, which is ridiculous.
Really has telekinesis.
And I have to say, I sent this to my friends here, Alex and Rowan, about this. I don't know if you saw this, Rowan, or not, but Sigwashigabog, extreme heavy metal, were held at gunpoint to get out of the venue when they asked for their payment. That's a new one that I haven't heard in quite a while. This is old time style carny wrestling. Where's my payday? It's right here. Make me pull the trigger and you'll get it. That type of situation. This happened in Tennessee. The Sigwashigabog claims they were threatened with a firearm after their show in Memphis, Tennessee on 29th of July when the band went to collect their pay for the show. They made the full post about it. And they said they had witnesses. Bands, booking agents, managers do not work for this clown. This is Corey Likens, and hopefully by tomorrow morning, he doesn't have a job. They give the whole story. They tell everything. Well, here's the issue. The venue, the staff members that were there that saw it, then the venue posted saying, the venue was telling us to take the post down and saying that Likens didn't say he was going to shoot us and that he told us, I have a gun. That's not true. He told the five of us he was going to shoot us and that saying we breached contract, which is totally also a made up thing. So now the venue is doubling down with the gun toting manager of the venue and trying to call out Sigwashigabog. Sigwashigabog is now doubling down again. Update. People do not support Minglewood Hall. They called out everything. 1884 Lounge. Do not buy tickets to their shows and make everyone aware of this. Straight up F this place. And they went over everything and they called their witnesses to have everything else there because it wasn't just the band that approached them as well about this. So, thoughts on a band almost dying because they wanted to get paid?
this is bothering me. They're saying the response. It's like, oh, we weren't going to shoot you. It's just him saying, I have a gun. Just the implication of just that statement. That's already enough to get me on edge. Be like, hey, where's my payment? I have a gun. Have a good day.
I didn't tell you I was going to shoot you. I just told you I had a gun and showed it to you. What are you talking about?
Yeah, no, it's like, I'm just pointing at you because I just want to show you. It's really cool looking at it from the barrel.
And I pointed the gun right at my head like a finger thing and then made the slashing throat a thing across my throat. Then what's that supposed to mean? You guys need to lighten up a little.
Yeah.
So everyone's fine. Everyone is safe. Everyone is fine. If you're from Nashville, what is this nonsense? What is going on? Ugh.
I'm not like, a vibe, wow, this is like,
if that's what you want to call it, a vibe. All right. Yowza. I am glad everyone's like, okay, though.
I feel like you should get the cops involved for this type of thing, right?
But then it's just going to be a they said thing, because that's exactly what it is right now. It's a they said, and it's like,
it is.
This is just a messy situation.
It's a messy situation. The thing is, though, there's many witnesses. And now that the venue is backing up their crooked. Do you guys remember Spider-Man, the original Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire, the wrestling guy who didn't want to pay Spider-Man and Peter Parker?
Oh, yeah.
This is that guy, but with a gun.
Yeah, you can probably prove that. Like, if you get the cost of all, you could just be like, yeah, we tried to get our money because we performed this show. They threatened to kill us. Like, if that's not a solid case, I don't know what the hell is.
Also, I think the venue trying to clear and saying, oh, no, he just said I have a gun. He didn't say he was going to shoot them. I feel like that wasn't the right way to say that or approach the situation.
What context does telling someone I have a gun is not with a sort of threatening demeanor?
Hey, Kevin, have you ever have you ever asked for a raise at work and the boss said I have a gun and then you just went back to work? Has that ever happened?
I did sign an NDA. So
okay. I don't want to put you on the spot. I'm sorry. I've never asked for a raise and was told I have a gun. So this is a pretty rare one. Also, it's saying we sugar bog. Look at these guys.
It's not a raise, though. This isn't a raise.
They want to get paid. Money. You're right. It was after the show, too. So you can't say like they were trying to get it early or they're trying to scam anyone. The people were already going home from the crowd.
You know, they did their part. We performed the show. We've held up our end of the bargain. Like, now we want to get paid.
I also love the fact that, like, some scuzzy little manager told that guy in the center where the cursor is right now, I have a gun. Like, oh, this is going to go end well. I'm sure this will be okay. I'm positive. So, if you'd like
to... This man looks like he would eat me for just to hit his protein goals.
Oh. Got to get that protein intake somehow.
Yeah, no, seriously, one gram per body weight. That's how you grow muscles, ladies and gentlemen.
That's true.
I thought we were done with the whole Tim Lembesis thing, man. We don't have to go backwards.
We've talked about him so much last year. I know it. We know it's coming later this year, too, probably. There's no way he's done. So
it got worse. It does. We never talked about it, but it got worse.
Yeah. So we move on to some other idiots. Man, I nailed that segue. Yes, thank you. So did you guys know that problematic Chris Fronczak of Attila is now going after Mr. Beast? Legit?
Explain.
Okay, no problem. So this happened with, okay, first of all, I'm not crazy about Mr. Beast.
Playing Mad Libs.
No, I know it's legit though. So the one, I will say this, I'm not crazy about Mr. Beast shenanigans. He has tried to do some philanthropy work. He's done all that water work in Africa. This is what it's referring to. Team Water is Now Life. He's put so many like actual active wells and power, like pumps and stuff in areas and at communities in Africa. For charity. And yes, he documented it all. He did it for content, but he still did it. So many people got water out of that. Okay. Well, Mr. Fronczak, I won't go down the rabbit hole of all the crap he's pulled. I'm just going to focus on topic. Here's his first post. I see a lot of discourse about this, but no one is mentioning the fact that Mr. Beast went to Africa and built 100 wells in 2023, and they all failed 1 year later due to lack of maintenance. I believe everyone should always help other people, but this idea already failed? So he's calling out over 100 failing wells that he's aware of, and all this. So everyone up to date right now.
When is 100 Failing Wells playing Riot Fest? Are they like an early band?
I hope they have some type of water. I hope they have some type of water show, like a water cannon or even just something that shoots out the water too. They're missing an opportunity if they don't. Well, so Mr. Beast came out and said, what the heck? I don't think so. So he went, this is always on Twitter. That's literally a flat out lie. We recently had the 100 Hells audited because of these false rumors, which erodes trust in philanthropic efforts and is not cool. And the wells are working. So, okay. It's like, okay. He went to work and he's aware of the rumors. Well, Mr. Frontex says, okay, send me the audit that shows the all 100 wells are still working today, and I'll send $5,000 to you, your new water project. So,
dude, that, I freaking hate Chris Fronczak, and I freaking hate Attila so much.
So, a little more, and this is the crap now. So now, the Attila fanboys, yes, they exist, started making AI video clips of wells breaking in Africa and saying this is what's going on due to Mr. Beast. And he had to reply, random people makes a brand new TikTok account, makes a video that's a straight up lie about the wells I built, and now you're all falling for it. This is not a real news site. This is a random brand new TikTok account cosplaying as one. I'm so over being defamed. So that's what's going on in the fight between Attila and Mr. Beast. Thoughts?
Why?
Well, I think I know why. I think Chris is just aware that no one really likes his band, really, just besides the fucking, sorry, wow, the 2000 like fans that never grew out of their out of middle school, and he's just desperate for attention. So it's like, oh hey, Mr. Beast is like the biggest thing on YouTube, so let me see if I can get attention through him. Let me do this thing that I have no actual just kind of like no connection to, and let me just see if I can get some people to like just talk about me online, which clearly that's working. But yeah, no, seriously, it's just because no one really cares for Attila these days, and I think he's just becoming aware of it.
I don't know enough about Attila's current thing. Alex, you want to get in there?
No, you go, please.
No, you talk about Attila. I don't want to. No, you say something about it.
All right, well, I don't
I've hated them since I was 12.
Yeah, I don't know their current standing or what they have going on, and God bless them. But this just strikes me as like diet, you know, like the diet version of Ronnie Radke behavior.
Yeah. And see, my thing about this too, again, I'm not a fan of all the stuff Mr. Beast has done, like all the human games and stuff he's played. It's like, we lock this person in a box for a week and we'll give him $20,000 if he leaves, all that type of crap. Okay. But this is the one you're going to call out? The one where he's actively helping a lot of people? This?
That's what I mean by, but why? Why did you start this?
It's clout
Mr.
chasing.
Attila? Oh, totally. But like, why? Why this one? And why this? And I want to know why Mr. Beast responded, because you know he's got a ton of people talking crap all over. I mean, he's all over the place.
Mr. Beast,
so why this one?
Mr. Beast probably had to look up who Attila was first, by the way. So
probably, yeah. Because no one's thought about Attila since 2013.
So yeah, that really is it. That's the explanation of this nonsense. I hope we don't have to bring you updates. I hope. I don't want there to be updates on this. So
just let this one fizzle out, please.
Yeah.
Can I also ask, by the way, chat, is there anyone around you like who is a genuine Attila fan? I have never met an Attila fan in person or online. I do not like a single song from them. I genuinely want to know what the appeal is.
Can we talk about something fun that we mentioned previously?
About yes,
silly, about silly goose, silly goose getting arrested during their pop-up performance at Chicago gas station. So, by the way, this is the second pop-up performance at a gas station in the last 3 weeks that ended up in bands getting arrested. The first was at Warped Tour, where they actually sent a helicopter after them. LAPD, you went a little overboard with that many cops. But also, the Chicago now has silly goose getting arrested, and look at that smile. Like he looks like he's going to Willy Wonka's chocolate factory.
He got what he wanted.
Were you aware, Kevin, of the shenanigans with Silly Goose while they were happening?
I am aware of it. And the GoFundMe, there is a GoFundMe. If you, have it there listed. We're also, you can text our radio station. we will try and help out best way we can as well. Jackson is certainly a man who understands how to be provocative, to find people there in baby blue of the Chicago Police Department, of which my brother is a member. Mm-hmm. And so I understand their work on a very busy Lollapalooza weekend. You know, I don't think they really care about the new metal revival. The fine people at BP Oil want to fill up their tank and you're in the way. So, I get what you're doing, but you know, you do stuff without permits, man. You're kind of asking for it. I'm not saying he deserved it either, but I mean, help him pay the whatever the fine is and just move along.
Can we all?
I mean, this is great publicity, though.
Alex, exactly. Yeah. And this is the same thing that we say every single, any publicity is good publicity. It's true. Why else would we be talking about it? And so, you know, like this GoFundMe to help cover, you know, Jackson's legal fees and the band's preparing to release a new album. Of course, we're talking about it. And now everybody's going to be like, oh, what is this silly goose? Oh, my goodness. They got arrested. It's working. It's publicity.
Quote. And it was after they went viral last year and it got broken up. He performed at a gas station. I know where the gas station is, by the way. It's a pretty busy area. Then this year they play Lollapalooza and then just want to do the gas station thing again.
So if we get them for Riot Fest next year, that also the quote from Jackson Foster on the GoFundMe, we had received previous permission. We had received permission from the manager and we had even done the same thing the previous year. He was going to let us play in front of Gas Pump 2 and 4 for 1 hour exchange for $100. That's a deal, by the way. That is a deal.
Bucks?
Yeah, dude, man. Screw playing at the club, guys. I don't care. That is a deal. So,
dude, I've had like
full tanks of gas. It's two full tanks of gas.
I've had like student productions at like gas stations and we would have to pay like the owners or the managers like $300 just to have like 2 hours of filming there. And we could not, and we still had to like let the gas station like still run. Basically, we just had to shoot around everything. That is a steal. Can I talk to this guy right next to the film project?
So I just admire this picture, by the way. I don't know who took this photo. Well done. That is gold.
Yeah. What if like the guy who runs the gas station realized like he probably just took way less than he should have taken? Mm-hmm. And he's just like, well, screw this.
Oh, next year, more money. Oh, yeah, next year it's going to be like at least tenfold, at least $1,000. No way less. No way.
I want points on the album. That's what he wants. I want it back end.
Mm-hmm. Well, the general rule in film is that if you rent out a location, like an actual business, you have to kind of reimburse them for the money that they ought to have made that day, like their average or whatever. That's kind of like the usual like procedure.
$100 is not going to cover what a gas station makes in an hour. Not.
That's what I'm saying. It's a great deal.
An hour? Ugh, not even close. Not even an hour.
That's like 10 minutes. Yeah.
I think Kevin is on to something here. He's like, wait a minute. I am losing out on this deal. Get out of here, you guys. And he's like, I got to pull the plug. This
Kevin and Hell 2 live at Pump 4.
Hell yeah, dude.
And the photo cover is just you with a pump in the air squirting gas open into the ground and nothing.
Yeah. Oh, the pyro will be easy. Also, I have a comedy special. I will say this. I have a comedy special and there will be fire at my comedy special.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
I will have pyrotechnics on a comedy special produced in front of a crowd of maybe 100 people.
The pyro.
Has there ever been pyro at a comedy show? That sounds sure awesome. Has,
yeah,
I'm that's trying a, to think of like context yeah. for that.
Kevin Hart, when he did one of his big stadium, he did like a, it was an arena special or a stadium special. He came out and did pyro at the beginning and they had pyro for him.
There,
I'm thinking you could have like some sort of mic drop moment where you have like this really good punchline and then the flames just shoot up.
Ooh, that actually does sound
when I say pyro, I have something that looks like fire. I'll just leave it at that.
It's not fire?
Next album, we'll get the pyro budget. So,
yeah.
What really quick, I do want to talk about the vague tease for Bad Omens. Kevin, you work at radio. I'm sure you're familiar with Bad Omens.
Yeah.
So
yeah, big time. Big band. Big crossover band, too, by the way. We talked about that earlier.
They posted this. They posted the tease full production video hinting, and that's it. They're saying in 2 days, this Friday, we're getting more news on new Bad Omens. Maybe, finally, first new stuff in quite a while from the Richmond band. Thoughts on Bad Omens in 2025 because they've gone supernova with getting all the scene kids riled up. It's a scene kids explosion right now on these comments.
What's the 2022 album Brillo? Yeah, no, seriously, like or an EP or something. If they did like another thing with what was that album? What was the name of the album that they did? It was like, we're not really an album, but it had all the features like pop. Yeah, that. If it's something like that, I'm so for that, because that honestly has some of my favorite Bad Omen songs ever, like The Drain. Or
we decided last year that the best song was the one standoff with Poppy, Violence Against Nature.
Such a good song.
Mm-hmm. No, but Drain is also a banger too. I love the riffs on that.
For sure. So yeah, just keep heads up. We'll give you more. Go ahead, Kev.
Korn may not want me, but I want a single. I want a big kick-ass single I can play on the rock radio for them. Mm-hmm. I'm just selfish thinking about my own needs. But no, Van, as I called it, Violence Against Nature was a fun song. Mm-hmm. And I agree. And that was it was a heavy song. And definitely this about Poppy. I think Poppy's kind of proven. It's more, she's a performance artist who does heavy metal things, which is fun.
I saw Poppy in April and she performed Van. And my God, I lost my crap in that. I went hard in the mosh pit during that song.
We are all pro Poppy on this podcast. So.
Yeah. And it's very odd to see somebody who's such a pop creation, like go that route, but she pulled it off. And also the collaboration with Bad Omens was keen. I think they'll do more rhythmic stuff on this record. I think you'll hear, you know, I don't want to call it pop things, but you would hear maybe more of the production that's cleaner. Then you go and see those songs and they have more of a grit to them. And there's a lot of bands that have that element to them. I think when it's very produced, there's some bands you come and see live. And I think Bad Omens has a lot of that.
They do.
But there's nothing wrong with that either, too.
So this next story, Alex made Rowan and I aware of this. You know the band Green Jelly with Three Little Pigs, Kevin?
Oh, yes. Very aware. Very, very entertaining show.
Yeah. You know what's not entertaining? When one of the members makes an post meme about Ozzy Osbourne dying, insulting him after his death. That's not as entertaining. Ooh. Alex, would you like to explain? Because,
Yeah, let me. So I'm just going to go straight off of memory because your text is tiny on my screen.
I'm not showing the meme, by the way. No. I'm not showing the meme. No.
So the dude who formerly of Green Jelly,
formerly known as, formerly known as Frito Feet, by the way.
I mean, they all have weird names, so that's part of the course.
Mother is proud. Yes, mom loves Frito Feet, but
yes. Mrs. Feet.
He in poor taste was like, and I mean, Ozzy Osbourne, one day sober. And I'm like, too soon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't, too soon and in bad taste. It was like right after, I mean, the entire metal and rock communities are still in mourning. Like, this is a huge loss for all of the community. And I'm like, why would you, what did you think was going to happen?
I also agree.
Posting a meme.
What was the end game result? Did you think you would get the ha-has on Reddit? Was that it?
No.
So so it was too late. Like, he tried to take it down, but there were already video clips and screenshots of what he did. The band said, this is too bad even for us. And we're Green Jello. So yeah, that's what happened.
Oh, wait, you can't say Jello. They got in trouble for that. Remember, it's Green Jelly.
Yeah, Jelly.
Well, that's the German Y that said, So yeah.
Is it?
That's why.
I'm calling him Jelly.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we talked about, like, that one. Oh my God. What's the name of that news outlet? It's kind of like The Onion, but it is rocked. Like,
Hard Times.
Yeah. Like, they had a joke about Sharon going about it would be like, oh yeah, Ozzy has like 20 more shows left with him. But that's like, that's a brand that is established to make satirical content.
It's also the Hard Times.
Yeah. It's also absurdist. Like, that's like an impossible feat. That's something that's
exactly. You know? Yeah. Yeah, also it has like, it's a joke that has some real life like sort of connotations, but this was just like a thing where it's such in bad taste. It's too soon. By the way, like, it just, why, what part of you thought this could have been a good idea?
Why
in jest we say too soon often, but that one was really too soon.
Frito,
yeah, like a day.
We used to trust Frito Feet. What happened?
he seems so down to earth. Incredible.
Have you noticed Frito Feet's acting odd lately? Question for you, Kevin. Have you ever been to the Sphere in Las Vegas?
No, but I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And my God, this is going to cost a lot of money, but it may be worth it. Everyone I know that's gone to the Sphere has not complained about the experience. Like, it could be a lot to experience, mm-hmm. but if you love going to a concert that has a high production value,
right,
Sphere might be it.
And yeah. if Metallica does it, they're going to make more money than they know what to do with that one residency stay. And that's Metallica money too. So even if they're like, that's something big. Lars went on SiriusXM because Metallica is launching a Metallica channel. It's going to be a license one thing coming up. And he was doing a big interview on Howard Stern. Wow, almost forgot his name, which is Sacrilege and Radio.
This is the series. They're doing their SiriusXM channel again.
Mm-hmm. They sure are. And it's,
I'll say this is a broadcast radio guy. I enjoy Sirius. The when they had the Metallica channel before, it was very good. They did a really, really good job with it. And Metallica was all over it. If you want to sample Sirius, it's the time to do it. Especially if Howard Stern isn't going to be there much longer. So you know, that's something to check out.
So, yeah, he talked about two things. Mainly at the near the end, though, he did talk about the rumors of the Sphere and then later the Super Bowl. But the Sphere was the most thing. And you know what? I think now the rumors are going to be more into fruition, because if the rumors are there and the band's up for it, I cannot see the Sphere in Las Vegas saying no.
No, this would also print them money.
Print money. It's also something where, you know, if you go to it, you know, you're spending more than an average ticket, right? Mm-hmm. You know what it is. You know, you're traveling to it. It's the residency thing. There's only a handful of bands that could do this. Grateful Dead did it. And, you know, Dead and Friends did it. I know people that went to more than one of them and said it was amazing.
Fish did it
and
as well.
And you get this, like,
my uncle went to the Fish show and he loved it.
There you go.
Yeah. And if you want these experiences, Revan just takes out their phone and films something, right? I'm sorry. That's a part of what music is now.
Yeah.
This is that. And you have the floor where if you want to mosh, they have that too, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. That it's going to be. Alex, go ahead.
Honestly. Oh, sorry.
Even if you get nosebleeds at the Sphere, you've got a view of the crazy visuals all around you. So, I mean, it's a fun time. I've never been, but the videos I've seen would be so fun.
I was going to say, like, if I feel like a band who is playing the Sphere would want to lean into people using their phones, because if you get like video coverage and free coverage from fans posting on their social media channels and all that stuff, and everyone gets to see those visuals and just see the experience, that's going to draw more people who missed the first time around to want to. Maybe like, okay, I'm going to bite the bullet, spend the money, and I'm going to experience this. Because this clearly is like, this is clearly like a once in a lifetime opportunity.
I went to the Ghost show. I told you guys no phones at the Ghost show, right? It was a Yonder pouch experience at the Allstate Arena this past Friday. I didn't see Korn. I had friends that did. I don't think you could Yonder phone pouch someone for a live show at Sphere. I don't think you can ask people to pay that type of money. Tell them they can't film on their phone.
And I think they would probably want,
especially when,
they might want it.
It'd be like, it's like some sort of psyop where you get people to film at the Sphere show, they post it on social media, and that drives up the, just kind of the demand and just the attention, really.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Kevin can attest to this, you know, as somebody in the radio world, we've got friends that we talk to from the labels all the time. That's one of the biggest things. They're like, of course, we want people to go out to the shows with their phones. It's free marketing for the tour, for the band.
Yep.
Depends on what band you're talking to, though. I would say, Alex, like, I agree with you. But there's some bands that are starting to deviate from it and want no phone experience. I know.
But for one, Randy, Korn, like, I was going to say Ghost, like, you just went to that show and they had the Yonder bags. That's a perfect example. They don't need the extra marketing. They don't need the extra experience. They've Ghosts already got it, like, in their hole, in their pocket. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then maybe they'll go back to shows with phones in the future, you know? And I think, but this is an experience, though, where I think if you go, it has to be but also, can we just, Metallica plays the Super Bowl? And also, if you go on Stern and you drop that, that's not like you're just dropping.
It's big.
That's tipping your finger. That's pricking your finger and putting it in a shark pool. That's what that was designed for. That was not done without a reason. That the Sphere conversation was not done. We can't confirm, but really push up the number here when we go to settle on the deal here.
Yeah. And everyone's been burned about Metallica, the Super Bowl, for many, many years. They had the Super Bowl in San Francisco back in 2015. Am I correct? 2015 or 2016? That would have been the year to do it, and they didn't. So
he did the night before thing. I know they've done that before. Where they get to do the big sponsored rock show.
Sure. Yeah. Foo Fighters have done that too. But at the same time, I do see the Sphere happening over the Super Bowl if one of them happens. So also salt in the wound. Alex and I were going to see Metallica at this year at Sick New Worlds, but that did not happen because the festival did not happen.
Here.
That one's still weird to me. Mm-hmm. That one's still weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But when you look at all these other festival lineups, how does Linkin Park and Metallica not move the needle?
The prices for the tickets were way up there. We talk about Riot Fest, like how affordable it is. Like think Riot Fest times 10. And that's not an exaggeration. So.
But I also got to give the people at the Sphere, which is this big multi-million dollar thing. I did some videos for SportsKeed and the other stuff they're doing about it. But and I know someone, my brother-in-law, Brian, is a huge U2 fan. Huge. And they're the band that opened up the venue. Yeah. He went to it twice.
And that's smart.
And he spent.
That's a good one.
But he's also like, any band that you love, if they play here. And I was texting with him about this. And he knows I love Metallica. Mm-hmm. And he goes, if they're playing, you should go. He was adamant about it. He's like, if they're playing you, you should see them there. It'll be an exceptional experience to see them.
Yeah, it is the experience that's like the main driving force. And again, like my uncle, my aunt, his wife spent a crap ton of money to go like get tickets for him for his birthday for Fish. But like, again, he was that happy about it that to her and him, it was worth it.
Alex,
would you go to this? Would you drop the coin on this?
Oh, hell yeah. The first time I saw Metallica, I cried. Just imagining seeing Metallica completely surrounding you and the sound system in there, I've heard, is amazing. I think it would be a cannot miss experience for sure.
Metallica was my first concert, so I am so down for this.
Mm-hmm.
And you're such a wonderful child. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that about you.
We now go to the business side of our podcast. First, we talk about the poll we did last week. Every week now, we do an album versus album, and we gauge a live audience and like just the weekly audience just on the community tab. Results from last week's poll from the community tab, which Ozzy Osbourne album do you prefer, Diary of a Madman or No More Tears? It was closer than I thought. No More Tears with 62%.
Okay. All right.
I think it's a fair showing. I think it's fair, you know? So.
Yeah.
RIP to Ozzy. Still doesn't feel like he's gone. Please watch the Pepsi Twist commercial if you haven't.
I've been digging deep. I actually love the last two albums he did with Andrew Watt producing. I thought those were the two most like complete albums he's done in a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Song of his, The Gods of Rock and Roll, that quickly became one of my dad's favorite Ozzy Osbourne songs. And he's been a fan since the very beginning with Blizzard of Oz.
There you go.
Yeah, it had a fun Elton John vibe to it. And then you did a song with Elton John. I think in an ordinary man, he did the track ticket.
Very cool. So now we go to this week's poll, and I will submit it after we do the poll ourselves because we do it with the live chat. We were talking about Korn. We're going to Korn this one. Which Korn album do you prefer? Follow the Leader or Issues? And while I make the poll for our live chat, we're going to go down the line, and Kevin might be struggling. Alex, your thoughts. Follow the Leader versus Issues.
I think these are two really good ones to put head to head because there's a ton of like favorite tracks off of both albums. I mean, if we go starting at, 98, Follow the Leader, we've got Freak on a Leash. We've got All in the Family, Got the Life. We've got Dead Bodies Everywhere. That one's always really fun. So solid tracks off of that album. And then we've got Issues. 1 year later, we got Falling Away from Me, Make Me Bad. Somebody, Someone. Those are some of the favorites off that one. So I think these two, it's going to be kind of hard because when you take the singles out and you look at just those, it's like, oh, dang.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which one I like better. I think personally, I would go with Issues.
Okay.
Yes.
But that's just me.
Okay.
No. I am right there with you. I like Follow the Leader. Got the Life is my favorite Korn song. But if we're talking full album Issues, I just love going back to that full record a lot more. Not even just the singles, but even songs like Trash, like Beg For Me, Hey Daddy, they are all so great. And honestly, like, I feel like those songs are not talked about enough. Like, if you guys are just like, if you guys just know like the Korn hits, I seriously recommend like giving Issues, being that the first Korn album you fully and like listen to. It is amazing. I love it.
Very cool. Kevin, do you have a choice or thoughts?
This is really hard because like Korn is like that band that hits when I'm in high school and like all of my friends are into them and I get into them through my friends, right? And I saw Korn on the Issues tour. It was the first time I saw them.
Nice.
And so I'm more inclined to that, to go with that album. But it also has more mellow tracks on it than people, you know, kind of like look over. You know, like Make Me Bad is a pretty like fun, chill, like almost make out vibes, like on that song in some part.
Ooh, baby, want to make out to Korn? That is a late 90s, early 2000s statement right there.
Come on, dude. You tell me there aren't some people with like, you know, lip piercings that didn't like, you know.
Both of them, you know, had, that didn't the guy like and the girl have both had dreads and the JNCOs on. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, come on. Their wallet chains get wrapped together and they're all like, you know, falling over each other and stuff.
Everybody's dreadlocks.
There are some things on Follow the Leader as I look at the track listings and I'm thinking of it. There is one thing I love about Follow the Leader that had the thing that you don't think of in the digital age. I want to speak to the young Gen Z representative here. How do you feel about secret tracks?
And hidden
that
tracks.
That was something you got. Was the secret. There was like the Cheech and Chong secret track, Earache in My Eye, which is the Cheech and Chong cover, which now if you just pull up the digital version of the album, right there. You
know, I was about to say, like, I am familiar with the concept of secret tracks. Some of my favorite albums have them like Undertow, but, to your point, because people like listed on like streaming services and all that stuff, or even back in like the 2000s and like the days of YouTube, and that was how I got consumed my music, people would just be like, yeah, this album is, or like this song has like at the very end of this album, just go to this timestamp. So I didn't have that experience of just putting an album on.
You didn't know.
Alex, Rowan.
Put the album on.
So Rowan.
The first time and you would. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, so, yeah, it's I didn't get to really live that experience.
Rowan, Alex, it myself, sucks. And Kevin are all glaring at you. It's like, you little...
Sorry boy. For being born in a year after 2000.
Back in my day, we didn't have to wait. Blah, 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 blah. That's how we all sound right now.
I'm an old man from the 90s, I tell you what, all right? I'm not in my 90s. I'm from the 1990s. All right, I've had enough of this. I'm going to go to the Best Buy and buy my CDs in a compact disc form. All right, I got late fees.
That was
Blockbuster.
It's very interesting that we're talking.
I was going to say, that was back
it's
when
very
Best Buy
that we're talking
had 50,000 CDs at every single Best Buy.
Yeah, all the CDs are like in a bin in the middle of the store. But it's interesting that we're talking about this. We're talking about old formats, and I want to give a little shout out to my bro, Paul Gennardi. He plays drums for my band, and he is like literally my best friend. He bought me a record player over the weekend, and now I have been getting into vinyl, and somehow my friends tell me I have somehow gotten more douchey. So I don't know. That's just been an awesome experience.
Well, my vote also is for Issues. The reason why, it feels like a more complete album. And I'll say this, even with the singles aside, because like the singles are tit for tat when I talk about looking them back and forth, but the better tracks in the deep cuts, I feel are stronger on Issues as opposed to Follow the Leader. Hmm. Follow the Leader has some straight up cheese on it at moments.
I don't like the Ice Cube song.
I see. It's Fred Durst and Jonathan Davis trying to out insult each other in a not well dated song. So that just little things like that.
What's the problem with?
Well, you know, just maybe three or four minutes of them doing that back and forth to each other in a really weird monotone way and trying to sound like they're doing a rap battle without rapping. And it's a weird battle. It just kind of misses the mark for me. Just a little.
Wait, are you telling me the line, "Too bad I got your beans in my bag, you stuck up sucker"? Horny mother. Come on, that's Jenny.
That is late 90s, by the way. That is late 90s gold. I understand that. Product of its time. Absolutely.
I think you guys will appreciate this real quick onto the secret tracks thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the secret tracks thing, I love secret tracks. I was listening to Astro Creep the other day, and I forgot that there was a secret track at the end, and I just thought I turned the radio down. So I'm driving, and I'm a weirdo. I can drive in silence sometimes. So I'm just driving around, and all of a sudden, the new song pops up, and I'm like, what the hell was that? It scared the snot out of me. That is one of my favorite memories of secret tracks, is when they pop up out of nowhere, and you're like, holy crap, I thought the CD player turned off.
Mm-hmm.
Fun.
Can I just say one more thing that I love about Issues? It's just about like the album cover. You guys know all the story about how that was like they had the little context with all the fans submitting artwork that would be the album cover, and people, and I think there was even a video where Korn was like, yeah, this one looks like crap, but hey, we're not really judging it based on that. This could be the cover for all we care. I want something like that again. I don't know if anyone still does that or if any bands have done anything like that recently, but like, I would love to see something like that in the mainstream again. Just a big band be like, hey, we're releasing something. If you want a chance for your artwork to be our cover, let's see what you got. I feel like that's just a great way to interact with fans. I would love to see that again. How the hell did Follow the Leader win?
Well, it has more popular songs, and that's like right when they broke huge, you know, like that was like, right around this time. It was, what, 98, 99 comes out?
98, and it still had a lot of carrying power in 99, so it had longevity, too.
Yeah, and they were doing Family Values on that. That was, like really when they found a big... And they were crossing over with a pop audience and a hip-hop audience.
They were. MTV was...
They had just done the Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
Yes. And MTV made Issues a big record, too. It was a TRL, you know... Yo, afternoon check in there
for all the kids. But those acronyms do mean something.
You bring up like artwork though. You can see those albums, and we're like, for people on the podcast feed, we're looking at the album cover. You can see, if you go to someone who's listened to rock music, you can tell them an album cover, and they know what it looks like, and they remember that artwork. Me doing a stand-up comedy album and special, I'm taping it this weekend. Cheap plug. Mm-hmm. I am heavy thinking about aesthetics. I wanted Kevin and Hell. I want it to be vaguely dark and occultish, even though I'm not talking about any of those things whatsoever in the album, because it's very like caustic and loud. And then I looked at the outfit I'm going to wear and the lighting that's going to be used. Maybe Alex, this is something you could appreciate. Just I had women come in and say, you are wearing this, you're not wearing this. And I had somebody pick out an outfit for me. And then I asked what the lighting is going to look like. I got a production walkthrough, and I chose red lighting for this podcast here today as well, because I was told I will have Slayer red lighting behind me. And I was like, yes, I want to look like I'm performing on a White Stripes album cover. If you've seen those album covers, like how defined the colors are, you know, that's what I wanted. Something that like absolutely pops off the screen when you see it, and you can see these album covers, you know what it is right away. And it's definitive. Like, you know, this is going to be dark. You know, this is going to be about the weird traumatic things that happen to children, and about how you get past those things. I think artwork like that in album art is hopefully coming back in some way, but also with social media. And you look at like what Ghost does, it's a whole lore is a big thing. You know, 21 Pilots is really revived that over the last 10 years. But there's plenty of bands that just don't care about it and just put out their stuff, right?
Yeah. I mean, so we'll see.
I feel like you want to have like... Art in general is just very important, especially if you're a band. That's going to be part of your brand. That's going to be part of your image, really. People are going to be thinking about your album cover. So I feel like it's very damn important for you to have a good album cover. Or one that just released. Yeah.
Now I'm making notes.
Nice. So the actual poll is now on the community tab as well, if you want to vote on that one as well. Last poll had over 4,000 votes for the Ozzy one. I'm curious to see how this will do for the Korn one. So we're going to move on. We do have one bit of news before we get to our albums and upcoming tours and everything. Alex's turn for Song of the Week. Alex, would you like to preface what you had for your choice for this week's choice?
Yes. So I chose one of the new Hayley Williams tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Don't remember which one I chose, Luke.
True Believer.
Real Believer. Okay. So Hayley Williams surprise dropped like this whole new, you know, album. So she just kind of was like, hey, here's this bunch of songs that I've been working on. And it came out of nowhere. And they were like on her website for a little while, and you could only get them if you were like an exclusive member or you had the password or whatever. And then they were gone. They disappeared from her website. And I found them on, you know, the internet, where everybody can access them now. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Damn, these are actually pretty good. This was a fun surprise. I'm excited about it. And the song, this song specifically, really jumped out at me lyrically. I'm very annoying in the sense that I just listen to the tracks and I don't ever know what they're freaking called. So this one, I was like, oh, okay, I like what you're doing here with the lyrics. So if you get a chance, check out Hayley Williams' new run of random songs that she just surprise released, and definitely check this one. And True Believer is my favorite so far of all of this stuff.
Very nice.
I heard another track from this batch of new stuff that she's doing, which I assume is an album. You know, she's going to do some type of album.
Something.
A track. I'm trying to think of the track that was, she just put out a music video yesterday. I think called Big Ego at the Bachelorette Party Bar, I think is the name of the track. Like, it has that. And it was, it had like a cool, almost like a softer rhythmic Fiona Apple vibe. It doesn't sound like Paramore. It doesn't sound like a Paramore record when you hear the singer from Paramore. But it has enough of her in it. And I'm like, all right, okay, okay, some big stuff. And this is while Paramore is still pretty active. They're going to do some shows this year too. So an interesting time for her to drop this, because then you think, all right, she's putting out solo stuff, so then she's going to tour solo. But no, like, Paramore's putting out some big dates and doing some big things. So good on her.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. We're going to talk about briefly some upcoming tours and albums that got announced this week and are coming this Friday. Alex, do we have any upcoming tours that were announced this week?
Only a couple. Like, Moths to Flames just announced some new tour dates for 2025. Okay. Dream Theater are going to play A Change of Seasons in full on their upcoming U.S. tour.
That's a beast.
And the Almond Betts Family Revival Tour is happening in 2025. So that's fun. I mean, little change of pace. And then Cradle of Filth and Suffocation just announced a European tour.
Okay, then.
That's it. That's all I got.
Heavy stuff. Okay, Rowan, what albums do we have coming out on Friday, August 8th?
We got a solid lineup coming in this week. First of all, we got the Black Keys coming with No Rain, No Flowers. Good bluesy rock band. I like the Black Keys. We got Hailstorm coming in with Everest as well. Dude, like, I'm excited for these next two right here. Attack Attack with Attack Attack 2, the sequel, Electric Boogaloo. And this is my... See the green
what a silly fun name for an album title.
I added the Electric Boogaloo, but Attack Attack 2. Yeah, it's the sequel, I guess.
Oh, I thought Electric Boogaloo was in there. You were telling me. Yeah.
Whenever I see 2, I just like to add Electric Boogaloo as a joke. That would be on brand for them. But finally, this is the album that I'm looking forward to the most. Baby Metal's with Metal 4th. All the singles they've released so far for this album with all the features, I'm just so excited. It just feels like it's going to be such a fun record, and I just can't wait to listen to it. Kevin,
is that again one more time?
Baby Metal.
Baby Metal? The Japanese Metal. Kawaii Idol band.
No, I thought you said Baby Mouth for a second. I was like, wait, what? I know Baby Mouth.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Extreme death metal band, Baby Mouth.
Yeah.
Yes.
There probably is a band called Baby Mouth out there somewhere. But honestly, like, I've just been loving the features that they've released so far. Song 3 is easily one of my favorite songs of the year already. I've just been listening to that like nonstop ever since that drop. I don't really get tired of it. It just feels like it's going to be a fun record, and I'm all for it.
Very cool. Thank you for both all of that. We have one super chat from Ellie Yeats. So this is going to be a series all about Baby Metal, by the way. Okay. So imagine this. Baby Metal featuring Rob Zombie. And this is all like potential collaborations. Quick thumbs up or thumbs down on screen how you feel about it. Baby Metal featuring Rob Zombie. Baby Metal featuring Sleep Token. Baby Metal featuring Ghost. Baby Metal featuring Ice Nine Kills. Baby Metal featuring Slipknot. So The possibilities are endless for them now in the future.
I thumbed down a lot of them.
I had one thumbs
on the
down.
Audio side. I thumbed down a lot of them.
Yeah. It would. I feel like, honestly, I said I had my thumbs up for Sleep Token, but honestly, thinking about style wise, I feel like Baby Metal is too high energy for Sleep Token. I feel like they like to kind of space things out.
Yeah, it's kind of what I want to see it because of that. I don't know how they would do that, how it would flow. So I'm curious how that would work.
Baby Sleep.
The only like really high intense, like
Sleepy Baby,
like Sleep Token songs I can think of are Gauze or something, or Vor.
Sleepy Baby. Is that the combination band? I think that should work. Sleepy Baby. Yeah, you laughed. Somebody laughed at that. I'm happy. That works. All right. We have two rounds of Festival Rocker Flop. Thank you so much for hitting the like button. Please continue to do so. We've prefaced Kevin on what Festival Rocker Flop is. This is going to be either amazing or ridiculous, but you know what? We're going to figure it out.
I've seen it and I've enjoyed seeing it.
Every week when we do this, we try. I'm just going to have the graphic on here. So apologies for not being as smooth as it usually is. However, this should work just fine. We're going to book a random festival. Ooh. Four bands in one day in a middle of nowhere town in the United States. Festival Rock or Flop. I picked it random. I added more photos this week to the folder. Will it be great? Will it be awful? I don't know. In honor of our guest, we will be calling this Kevin and Hell Fest. You get a 1 day festival.
Yeah.
Don't get too excited yet.
I'm not going to be super excited.
I don't get too excited because we don't know what bands you're getting yet. So.
You could have a very crap lineup, dude. It's happened.
So here we go. Band number one for Kevin. And, you say that now. Band number one for Kevin and Hellfest. Stained.
You jinxed yourself, dude.
For those who are listening, Kevin just threw down his headphones in anger.
They can play on one condition.
Uh-huh.
One condition. Only Mud Shovel. They just play Mud Shovel over and over again. That's all. They just get one song.
To be fair, he gets so Mud drunk Shovel. He forgets what song he plays. It'll play it again. That has legit happened before. So that actually is possible.
This is such an unflattering photo. You really captured the drunkenness.
I did.
In his eyes.
I sure did.
Yeah.
You want to hear a fun Stain story? Like a fun rock radio Stain story?
Hell yeah.
I could sneak this in. Rock 108. It's the first, like, I had been doing college radio at that point for years, but I'd never done like a big stage intro. Mm-hmm. Alex, you've done one of these big stage intros? Like, they're very.
Yeah.
She has, yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, she said yes.
Okay.
Yes, I can hear you. I'm sorry, I can't see you.
That's all right. When you do one of these, don't you have like that rush around and wait to go up and just talk in front of a lot of people for like 90 seconds at the most sometimes, right? So like it's this anxiety to do it. And so I get told the entire station is going to go up. We're going to go all the way to one side from one side of the stage to the other while I believe Seether was getting their set taken down. Mm-hmm. And Stained, because our headliner was going to do it. No, there's no problem on Stained or their crew. It's really, you know, the crew people are great, you know, and the band, I have no issue with the band either. I was just goofing. But I heard someone yell because I was at the front of the line. I was the one who was told, like, you have to get to the other side of the stage the quickest because you're the front of the line. We'll all throw out t-shirts. This one point when we get out there. I ruined the stage intro because I was told I don't have the street cred in Waterloo, Iowa, where they have more roads than streets. I don't have the street cred to do the intro there at the Cow Palace of Waterloo, Iowa.
They named it the Cow Palace.
Literally. They show off cows there for their annual cow festival. So the place that smells like cows, but has Seether and Stain playing that night because this is the closest they have to an arena in town. And it's a fun venue and it sounded great. They have me, I run out because I hear, all right, well, when we say go, a bunch of crew people running around. I hear go. ADD brain. I dart out there. Much faster I am now. Faster than our young gentleman, Rowan, joining. Challenge. We'll have a foot race when we meet, Rowan. Beat me. All right. I'll blow on my ACL. I'll like rip an Achilles.
I mean, just give me a time and placement. I'm down
there. Get out there. I run out there. I run out there. And I turn and no one else from the radio station is with me. None of them.
All by yourself.
I ran out on stage in front of 10,000 people and the crew is just there. And I'm like, ah, and they're all just doing work. And then the guys in the crew go, oh, you came out too early. And I had to sulk in front of 10,000 people and walk all the way and then walk back.
Yeah, you'll walk ashamed.
And like everyone's looking at you like, uh-huh, yep.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, look what you did. Uh-huh. And I just,
oh my God.
I heard go because it's really loud and a bunch of people are yelling at each other. I heard go. All right. So I just went. I thought I was supposed to go. And I was at the front of the line and they're like keeping you in this nice little pocket and you're just waiting and being told to go do your thing for 30 seconds for people. And then they brought the curtain down and they did the stage intro in front of the curtain, which doesn't have the oomph at all. And they took the t-shirts out. I was fired from that radio station a year later. So that's a different story.
Oh my God.
Worst case scenario, but you're doing better now. And you know what? We're going to get you a better band right now. Band number two for Kevin and Hellfest.
I'm saying he's got a better band. We don't know that. Oh, okay. Mudvayne.
There you go. Mudvayne. Yes. That's fun.
Yes. All right. Mudvayne. I've
seen them on their tour. I've seen them on this tour. I cannot wait for the show.
Number three, A Perfect Circle.
All right. I'm ahead. I just saw A Perfect Circle in the Sisanta tour last summer. Another no phone experience. Very enjoyable experience to see bands cut every half an hour to another band.
Yep.
Thought that was very, very cool. There other people should do the Sisanta thing.
Yeah.
Other bands should figure out a way to do that fun package where
they're switching back and forth.
It's very different.
And your final band. It's very
different. And then you all just.
Yeah.
All right. Who is it? Okay.
Poison with Brett Michaels.
Heaven and Hell is my comedy album, recording September 9th. Got my plug-in. Bye.
You get Heaven and Hell.
Brett Michaels makes him rage quit. He pulls a me. All right.
Oh. See, folks, he gets Heaven and Hell. He gets two bands he loves and two bands that aren't the best.
That's Chat. The headliner?
No. Like, you can decide which band you want as the headliner. That's how it always is.
Oh.
I'd say A Perfect Circle is headliner.
A Perfect Circle. A Perfect Circle can headline. Poison can be like the weird in the middle act. Sure. You know, Mudvayne can get the day going. I would put Mudvayne before. I would go A Perfect Circle, Mudvayne, top down. A Perfect Circle, Mudvayne, Stained. Stained, it's Open Hard. Right.
It's difficult. Yeah. Okay.
Big hits, right?
So,
Poison.
I'm on the fence about this one. Alex, what do you think? We always ask the question.
I think A Perfect Circle and Mudvayne would be fun. I will go.
I may not be able to make this one.
You know what? I think Poison in this lineup is a fun effery act added to something. Like I like the idea of just like, oh, I know of them, but I would see them in this lineup. That could be entertaining. There's something to it, you know.
Rowan, how about you?
It's so vast. It's such a wide spectrum. It's like two bands I love and two bands I really do not like. I'll go to the show because I love Mudvayne and A Perfect Circle that much, but for the other two acts, Kevin, I'm grabbing a beer with you or something.
I'm totally singing along to the Poison hits. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm totally singing along.
Dude, women still fall for Poison. There's something about Poison. Women.
I watched Meat Canyon do a video where he covered the first season of that of Brett Life. Michaels dating show. Yeah, that's what it was called. And Rock it's so Love? Trashy.
Mm-hmm.
You mean Rock of Love, dude?
Mm-hmm. VH1 classic. All right.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like a lot of people are willing to go, but they're either showing up late or they're distancing themselves during the time. So you know what? That does count as a slim success for Kevin and Hellfest. We also have, all right, last festival day, Yeet Fest. Thank you again, Ellie Yeet, for your super chat. Here we go. Band number one for Yeet Fest. We got Fall Out Boy.
Okay, cool. Okay. Yeah.
This was last year at Riot
Here's
Fest.
Here's the shot from Luke.
This was Riot Fest last year.
Okay.
Yep. Number two.
I thought for a second it wasn't.
Yeah. Number two, Bullet for My Valentine.
All right, cool.
Number three, idols.
Oh.
All over the place. And number four,
this is strong.
Sick puppies.
I'm in.
A Sick Puppies new album, very underrated.
I have not heard
very
it.
Very underrated. Yeah. They have a line. When you can put the line, you tell your boss to go jump in a lake, and like it's funny, and like they had a fun song that was genuinely funny. It had that Theory of a Dead Man poppy rhythm to it, but the bass is so heavy and mixed really well. And I don't know if it caught on at rock radio, but we did spin it for a bit on the X and I think 93X before I jumped on there in March. And I genuinely thought it was a really funny song. I think there needs to be more funny, like lighthearted, smart ass rock songs, not like twangy, like I'm a psycho puddle of mud. No, like there's something to that, but like something that's like funny and has like a little bit of a like Offspring has songs like that and stuff. Like I would love to hear more of that. Like it had definitely especially the new singer, they figured it out too.
Ryan's great. Yeah. I spun that track as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm getting a lot of yeses.
Emma, you're good.
Yeah, Emma's always been solid. She's with Evanescence now too, right?
Yeah, she's an amazing.
I'm going to get more into Sick Pussies. I only still know You're Going Down. That's the only Sick Puppy song I still only know.
So we got a lot of yeses. So that's 2 days worth of festivals we were able to get out. I'm happy with that. I want to say thank you again to our chat room for hanging with us as we started late. I also want to thank Kevin for joining us. Kevin and Hellfest was a success. Kevin, plug one more time your Kevin and Hell recording, if you would.
Well, I hope Kevin and Hell, the album taping I'm doing this Saturday is a success, man. You know, we're fighting. Every ticket counts. So even if you're not in Chicago, you know someone that's in Chicago, tell them what I'm doing. Go see my stuff. If you like it, tell someone else to go and see it. Share the link or you stink. It really matters. I mean, and also that helps out with the show. If you enjoy the show, tell people to watch the show. You know, that means something. Even though I'm still on the air, I tell people this all the time. If you like a band, get behind them and tell other people who like that band. And that's how things really grow. So, yes, I am trying to move tickets. I hear I have a good little number here, and hopefully I have a great walk up for this Saturday, 9 p.m. show. So a late start. A lot of great comedians. If you ever watched Kill Tony, Brandon Kiefer, who crushed in that show, is going to be opening up for me on this. I'm going to tape my album. I went through a breakup on the radio. It happened on air while I was live.
Awkward.
That is all displayed on the album. Awkward is not the word. Like awkward. There's other words beyond awkward.
Oh,
that's on the album. Like being like a weirdo kid and my family and the black sheep. I think rock people kind of associate with that. So all of that is going to be on this record. So even if you don't come and see it, it's going to come out later this year. Follow me on the things. I'm going to hopefully try and get a record deal with it too. Nice. And so I've talked to some people. I had a conversation with someone today that was promising. But yeah, come out. It's an completely independent thing. I'm putting my own money, my own time and energy into recording this. And you guys know what that's like to like, you know, get and you're asking all the favors of people to come and film things. And I'm having people build like flame towers like it's a high school theater production. And my mom and dad are going to come and hopefully be a little drunk before they get there so I can swear in front of them and not feel weird. So I had that conversation with my mom. She's like, well, I just hope it's not, no, you're not crude. Crude is a very old word way of saying don't say R-rated things.
Yes.
And then on the phone, I said it to my mom. I was like, well, mom, I'm going to F around when I get up there. So like, I just said like, hey, hang in there, mom. I think you can handle it.
As long as you don't point out your mom right after the crude joke, I think you'll be okay. Like, oh, by the way, look, row number two.
She's half the act. So like that's part of it.
Alex, do you have anything before we get going?
Nope, I'm good.
Rowan, how about you?
I'm good, man. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you guys very much. And finally, before we say goodbye, it is time for Alex to try to get us to laugh.
Prepare yourself, Kevin.
With a dad joke. Last week, she did not get us to laugh. The week before, she
got a walkout for me.
So she's on a 50-50.
Last week was my best work.
Oh, no. Best is not what I would have used. 2 weeks ago might have been one of your best.
The Shih Tzu joke was great. Yeah.
2 weeks ago was your best. Okay, so All right, Alex, you got three people. You make one of us laugh. It's right. Success. Here we go.
Man, I don't like the pressure.
This well, you know the game.
Rock or flop, this might be a flop, okay? I don't know, whatever. Okay.
I was ready to fire. Right. Chat, don't make me laugh before the joke.
Stop looking at the chat, Rowan, you're going to ruin it. Okay, I have a bunch of dead batteries that I've decided to give away.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're all free of charge.
I heard a laugh.
Come on, dude.
I heard a laugh.
I don't want to like it, but I do.
Success. That is the successful dad joke for the week.
Yeah.
Thank you all.
Our guest sabotages Luke.
Well, I don't see that at least was an innocent one. I'm okay with that one because you know what? It made sense. There was a cause and effect to it. I'm fine with that one getting Alex back on the win loss column for wins. That's up. Oh, see, what? Someone in chat just said too. Someone got you got someone in chat also.
Oh, yeah. Yo, I'm sitting over here thinking last week.
Hey, this isn't Philly. You can't throw batteries. No. Stop throwing batteries, you bunch of Philly jerks. What's wrong with you?
Sir, so you're telling me that the batteries don't charge? Then why even get the batteries? You go to the Wawa and then you just go to a Philly Eagles game and you throw batteries at the Santa Claus. That's what you do. You
know? That wasn't nearly enough.
You throw batteries at Santa Claus? What the hell?
Yes, they absolutely do. Also, that wasn't nearly enough profanity
That's
to be a Philly accent.
Sociopathic.
Well, I was trying to observe Thank the rules yes. of the podcast.
I agree. YouTube has a YouTube has a fit with that. So thank you all so much. We will see you next week. Hit up the link. I will pin the link to Kevin's stand-up special and everything else in the pinned comment tomorrow morning. Thank you all. Have a great night. Charge your batteries according to Alex.
Yeah.